We're thankful that day by day you're revealing to us what you have already invested, what you've already done, what you've already accomplished. So the Lord, oh God, we can step, oh God, into another dimension in you. Lord, we cannot carry ourselves. So we cry out to you. We say, Lord, carry us. Take us to where we belong. Open our eyes to see what we need to see. We surrender our lives to you, Father. We surrender our lives to you. Help us now. We cry out to God, to you, for your everlasting help. Thank you, Lord, for granting it. For we worship you, Lord, in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. The God we serve is an awesome God. You know, God says that we should call upon Him. Call upon Him. And He says that He will hear us. But He says, call upon me when I'm near. Call upon the Lord when He is near. Hallelujah. I want you to think about that. It says in Psalm 91, in verse 15, it says that He shall call upon me and I will answer Him and I'll be with Him in trouble. I will deliver Him and honor Him. The Word of God also says that when we call upon Him, when He's near, He will hear us. And the question then is this: what exactly does that mean? Call upon me while I'm near. What does that mean? Is there a time that God is not near? No. God is everywhere present. Not like today, but like yesterday, the sun was shining brightly. And everywhere we were, the sun was bright. Are you with me? The sun is bright in January. It's bright in August. It's bright in July. The sun is pumping out heat in January, in February. Actually, here in Winnipeg, the brighter it gets, the colder it is outside. When it's really bright, don't go out. It's the same sun, same brightness, same heat being released, but it's hotter in August than it is in January. Are you with me? Same sun. Proximity. One point it's closer than the other. And that is the change of seasons. Are you with me? Now, there are certain times that God is nearer And those are during his feast. They are not Jewish feasts. They are the feast of the Lord. Those are times when he that is reigning over all comes closer to us. He steps closer. And those are the times that God asks of us, what would you like me to do for you? Talk to me. What's that? Tell me. It's a secret. Tell me. It's during the festivals. And during the festivals, we need to come prepared and ready to do an exchange with God. And at the time of atonement, Yom Kippur is one of the most captivating times that God has set up. The tradition is that between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, that the Jews believe that this is the time that God makes the decision about how your new year is going to be, whether it's going to be good or bad or ugly. So they do a lot of repenting during this period, leading to this time, because this is the time of God's decision. Now, that's them. We know that God has already made a decision. Amen? We are past that, God making a decision. We are in the place of God has made a decision. The thing is, do we know what decision God has made? Because if you don't know what is in your account, you will not boldly withdraw from it. Hello? Okay. So today, tonight, I want us to explore some of the benefits. Some of the benefits that the atonement released into our lives. Now, to get that done, let us go right to the beginning. Let's go back to the book of Genesis, because if we want to know what it is that was restated or reinstated, we got to know what we lost. Amen? First of all, may I say this to us? We did not lose heaven. Amen? You never lost heaven. Man never lost heaven. Man lost the earth. You get that? That's what we lost. We lost the what? The earth. So, if we lost the earth, then atonement means that the earth needs to be restored back to us. Hear that. Now, to what extent do we act like we have repossessed the earth? That's a question I need to ask me. That's a question that you need to ask you. That's a question we need to ask us. Because there is something playing in the back of our minds, always telling us that we are not exactly worthy of, or we are not qualified for, or somebody else deserves more. And every step I try to take, something is playing in my mind and says, what makes you think you can? What makes you think that you have the right to? And I start looking at my pedigree. I start looking at my race. I start looking at my education. I start looking at my past experiences. And I talk myself out of what God is saying I can have. Are the people out there that are living life to the full, enjoying life, at least in our natural look, We don't know what's happening behind closed doors and what's happening on the inside of them. You know, we just know that they are flying high and driving high and wearing high and doing everything high. But we really don't know whether they are really happy or content. We don't know that. But these people, what makes you think that they are better than you or better than me? That makes you and I, if one of us, let's just assume for a moment, that Pastor Daniel here drives in here this evening with a Lamborghini. How many people will say, wow, that is so awesome, wonderful? Or are they going to be saying, what does he think? Who does he think he is driving that? Are you with me? We judge people and criticize people and are crabby in pulling people down so that none of us gets to go anywhere. So people are living behind a mask, pretending to be something that they are not. Because we don't know how to celebrate our awareness of the greatness of God invested in us. We've lost that. And the devil is good at that, in making me feel bad for feeling good. You heard me. The devil is good at making me feel bad for feeling good. Making me feel bad for being blessed. Making me feel bad for things happening right in my life. It's such a bad thing that when I look down south right now, there are white folks blaming themselves for being white. It's crazy. You and I need to be ourselves and be what God says we are and exploit the enemy and explore new territories and experience what God says we can have. It's not my race, it's not my color, it's not my education. It is God who blesses and makes me great. Somebody shout hallelujah. The atonement came to reverse everything that the enemy has established. It came to eradicate every lie that I've come to believe. In Genesis chapter 3, the book of Genesis chapter 3, I'm sure I'm going to shock you with some things tonight. I'm not going to be very long, but because I want to spend time praying with us. Those of you who are listening online, get some oil, because we'll cut off from you when the anointing segment starts. But I'm going to pray with you and release the anointing of God so that as you begin to use that oil to anoint yourself or anoint members of your family, that the same thing that God will do for us here, he will do for you where you are. Amen? So grab some oil. I did mention that we'll have an anointing service tonight. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, it says, now, the serpent was more subtle, arun, meaning it was crafty, cunning, shrewd, sly, smart, than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. It was so smart. And so the enemy tapped into that animal, which became a reptile, became a snake or serpent, tapped into it and began to use that beast of the field. Spoke through that beast and said to the woman, "Yea, had God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Did God say that you should not eat of every tree of the garden? Did God say you should not eat of every tree? That was the setup. Why is it asking the question, and what interest of the beast does this beast have concerning what God said to Adam and to Eve? The question you need to ask when the enemy comes tempting is to ask this question, and I'm going to build on it. Why are you so interested in me? What has made me a point of interest, a person of interest? Why are you coming here to tempt me? What do you know that I have that you want to steal from me? Because that's the idea. You are more than you think. I am more than I think. Did it say you should not eat of every tree of the garden? The next verse says, "And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden." But, and that's where she should have stopped. She should have stopped at the very first statement, because this does not concern any beast of the field. This is between her and the husband. You must not, listen, you must not invite people into your personal business that they have no business inquiring of, because you may just expose yourself to damage. They only need the information that they need, and that's it. Full stop, period. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it. God never said anything about touching it, lest ye die. Okay. Do they know anything about dying? No. So you're parroting back to this beast something that you believe God said, but you don't understand what God said because you have never seen or experienced what God said. You don't know what dying is. Do they? So why are you... there's much lessons to learn from this. Please hear what God is saying to us, because part of the atonement is not giving out information that you have no business giving away. A wise woman is discreet. I have no business giving you this information, because you're not part of the discussion. And I'm not about to say to you something that I don't understand yet. And the servant said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be what? Opened. Oh, you mean my eyes are not open now? No, your eyes are going to be really open when you eat of this fruit. And God doesn't want you to eat of that fruit, because if you eat of that fruit, you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. It's an interesting statement. You can be like gods, knowing good and evil. Huh. Okay. Why do I want to know evil? And by the way, what is evil? They don't know what evil is. So the question is, whatever it is God has given to you now, are you satisfied with it? Because if they're offering you evil and you don't know what evil is, but they're going to find out that evil means that they are going to be less. So why do I want to know good and evil? Goes on. When the woman saw that the tree was good, so she could see that the tree was good. So that's good. She knows what good is. Good for food. And that it was pleasant to the eyes. That's what she knows. She knows good. She knows pleasant. And a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were what? So that was not a lie. Their eyes were opened. Opened to what? And they knew that they were naked. That's what they knew. They knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. So they knew that they were naked, and now they are ashamed. So shame came because of that. So guess what the atonement came to do? The atonement came to make sure that we are clothed, and came to make sure that we are not ashamed. And my people shall never be ashamed. Shame is what sin brings about. The atonement brings about the covering and boldness of righteousness. So they start covering themselves. And verse 8, saying, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. So we know something. They were still able to hear. Hallelujah. They were still able to what? Hear. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. They were hiding themselves from God. Deception. Deception. To think that you can hide from God. You know what the atonement brings about? The atonement brings you to a place where you recognize that you are in God's view all the time. Sin makes you think you can hide. Somebody listening? Now, knowing that I'm in the presence of God all the time means I know that I'm protected all the time. And the Lord called, God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Where are you? Is it because God didn't know where he was? God knew where he was, but he had moved spiritually into another realm, a fallen state, not where God placed him. The atonement declares that God knows where I am. Are you with me? I'm coming. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden and I was afraid. So we see what sin brought about. Fear. Atonement brings about a reversal of that. Faith. Because I was naked, he says, and I hid myself. God now asks him a very striking question. Who told thee that thou was naked? Where did you learn that word from? Think about it. He has never known nakedness because he's clothed with the glory of God. Therefore, that word naked was not his word. Somebody told him that he was naked. Somebody gave him that word. Guess who that word came from? The devil. It's the devil that points you and accuses you and says all those negative things about you. So God asks him, who told you that you're naked? By the way, hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? Eating of that fruit? The man said, woman whom thou givest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. In essence, God, don't be asking me that kind of a silly question. This is your fault. It's your fault. The woman you gave me, she gave me to eat, and I ate. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did it. The serpent deceived me, and I ate. Okay? And the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. We know this story. Yeah? Well, I'm going to show you something that I can 99.9% guarantee you that you've been reading, but you did not see. Verse 15. Now put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And I will put enmity between thee, the serpent, the devil, and the who? And the man. Stick with the program. Just stick with it. Just stick with it. Don't bring your ideas into it. He says, there's going to be enmity between you and the woman. He did not mention the man. Between you and the woman, you're going to be enemies. And the seed that comes out of her is going to bruise your head and you bruise the heel. Are we okay with that? I'm going to pull it all together in just a moment. Next verse. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. And thy desire shall be to thy husband. You'll always be desiring your husband. and he shall rule over thee. This is a statement that God spoke over the woman. Guess what the atonement came to do? But we don't tap into it. This is a problem. We don't tap into it. When Jesus paid the price, from that point on, every woman should be able to say, God, I do not have the curse of the woman carrying a child in sorrow and giving birth in sorrow and in pain. Is it possible to give birth without that? Yeah, there are women who are taking hold of that word. And before you can say, ooh la la, baby is out. Do you understand? Baby is out. They don't go through 20 hours, 40 hours. They just show up. I think I'm ready. And before you can turn around, baby is out. But if you don't tap into it, it's not yours. But the atonement is supposed to cover that. The atonement is about restoration. Balance. Are you with me? I'm coming. It goes on. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, I told you this. I didn't have this discussion with her. I had this discussion with you. And I commanded you that you should not eat of it. I told you that. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. Cursed is what? The ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. That was the curse. The curse was on the what? The ground. And the curse on the ground meant that the ground will not be able to release much to him without him struggling to get it. In other words, you're going to struggle to make an income. Hello? So what did the atonement come to deal with? For me not to struggle to make an income. Somebody listening? No struggling to make it. That things will be easy for me to accomplish. Why? I've got a father who is blessing me. I'm coming. I'm getting really close. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. You're going to be a vegetarian. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt thou return. Notice this, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Guess what? The word of God said, the serpent is going to eat what? Dust. And you dust. So guess what? Right there, the enemy had access to you and to me. So what did the atonement come to accomplish? To make certain that that serpent does not have access to me. Because from that very moment, when I became a new creature, somebody listening yet? When I became a new creature, all things passed away. I got translated, transformed. I became light. I'm a light being. Somebody listening? This is why we must reject every form of sickness, everything that accuses us as individuals. But I'm coming yet. Next verse. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. She was the mother of all living. He called her Eve. Let's go on. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Go back. And the Lord God said, behold, the man. Can I say the man? We're going to get that man, whoever that man is, whether it's man as mankind or man as a man, we're going to settle the matter in just a moment. Are you with me? Behold, the man is present tense, continuous. He is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he, lest what? He, not lest they, lest what? He put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent whom? Sent whom? Her. Them. The Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. The Lord did not send the woman out of the Garden of Eden. I told you I was going somewhere. Is this too heavy? Let's go. We're here. Cool down. I'm not a heretic. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Wow. Why did God do that? Because God is a merciful God. The woman was going to always have access to the garden. So she can sneak some stuff out of the garden for the husband. Glory be to God. God did not put that judgment on her, because he is going to use her. And he is going to come through her, womankind, to the earth. There is a grace on the woman that the man did not have. And there was a grace on the man that the woman did not have. And guess what it is? Let me put it this way, and I'm going to go into the benefits in just a moment. God covered all the bases. He knew If the man has access to that garden at any time, whenever he wanted, he might just go and grab that tree of life, and he will live forever fallen. The woman, he let alone, because through her, he was going to birth himself, who's going to place judgment on the enemy and bring about atonement. Now, there's a role women are called to play. You ready for this? Your role as a woman. You know, have you ever heard the statement, behind every successful man, there is a woman? Okay. The reason God allowed the woman to have access is so that the man can keep on forging and he can temper his anger of thorns and thistles so that the man can make it. And he can draw that man back to himself. Do you remember a woman called, can't pull her name now, so I don't think I know the name, but I don't want to mess it up. God called a man called Moses. Do you remember that? And Moses is going back to Egypt. And then God came to kill Moses. Do you remember this? And the wife, Zipporah, that's right. The wife Zipporah caught in there and saved him by the shedding of blood, circumcision. Are you with me? Do you remember a young woman called Hagar? She leaves her son. We talked about this a little bit last Sunday. And she's over here, and she's crying out to the Lord. And God heard the voice of the lad. Do you remember that? Well, the role of the woman. Are you ready? The role of the woman is to cry out so that God can hear the man. Oh. When the woman cries out to God, God hears the man. And God says, don't mess with the woman, because if you mess with the woman, I cannot hear you. Is it in the Bible? What I just said now, is it in the Bible? That when God says, don't mess with the woman, with your wife, because if she is losing it, man, I am not going to hear you when you pray. Is it in the Bible? That's why God gave her access. I know. This is too hot. but if you understand, and the reason I'm pointing out to this right now is this, that you understand that the atonement covered a whole lot of stuff, but there's already some stuff that we have not made use of. That's the only reason I'm going there. We have not known our rights. Now, women, don't go about bullying your husband, because God is smarter than that. Say, okay. if you don't buy me this Gucci purse, God is not going to answer your prayer. Doesn't work that way. It does not work that way. Hello. Because I know somebody's having an idea right now. They're just thinking it. Yes. Hallelujah. Some coach I'm going to get me some coach, and I'm going to squeeze my face, and if you don't make me happy, glory be to God. Your prayer is not going to be answered. I tell you in Jesus' name. Oh, no. That's not, God is smarter than that. Amen? Hallelujah. But I'm saying that God created a default in the system so that we can still tap into the goodness of God, because God is very partial to women. No, but she's the one that went and ate of the fruit, and God says, yeah, I know it, but I did not tell her. I told you. You are the one I told. And child of God, understand that when God speaks to you, you are responsible for what God said to you. And it doesn't matter how convincing any other person's idea is, that idea does not count until God tells you otherwise. There are a lot of things that make sense for me to do, but God did not say to me to do it. And I won't, because even though it makes sense for me to do it, that's not what God said to me. Therefore, I must still stand with what God said to me and not what the crowd says. Because to follow the crowd, or like it said, because you hearkened to your wife or to the woman, this is going to happen. Now, God wants me to listen to my wife. That's not the point. The point is it the statement she's making, is it contrary to what God said to me? That's why you will see that God, when the woman makes a statement to the man, like Sarah makes a statement to Abraham, I want this woman and her son out of this house. God came and said to Abraham, do exactly what she said. Until God tells me to do exactly what she said, I am not doing it. Because that's to fall back into the place where God places a judgment on me. If God says it, I got to hear it from him. Then I do that. So Abraham heard what God said and confirmed what the wife said, and so he sent her away. And God matched up with that situation and addressed it. Are you on the same page with me? Now, what are the benefits? We know that there was a curse. The curse was not on the man, but the curse was on the ground, so that the man struggled and would sweat. Atonement says, you don't need to sweat no more. You don't need to sweat. Things have to be easy for you. And what do? I need to say, God, I am not under the curse. I've been atoned for. Life must now be easy. So the word of God says, the earth will yield its increase. Will yield its increase to you. So today we are going to believe God, that the word of his increase, the earth yielding its increase to us, will be made manifest. Hallelujah. Because the one that God said was to come and crush the head of the serpent has already come. He's already paid the price. The issue is resolved already. And I remember, I think it was last year, the Lord said to us, it's time to return back to Eden. Do you remember that word? The return to Eden, the return to pleasure, the return to the blessings of God. We must tap into that and receive what God says. Hallelujah. Health is a result of it. I still remember it. I cannot tell you which year right now, but it's got to be at least 10, maybe 15 years ago. Sitting in my family room, hearing God speak to me, I am still looking for somebody to believe me not to die. I said, what? What are you talking about? He said, I'm still looking for somebody to believe me not to die. What are you talking about? Believing you not to die. You mean not to die, not to die? Yeah, that's what I mean. Huh? Didn't I say I am the resurrection and the life? If you believe in me, you shall not die. I said, yeah. But, like, not die? Yeah. So I said, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. This one is too much for me. This is too much. This is too much to handle. But that's the situation, saints. That's the situation. There is so much God has available to us that we're not enjoying. And one of these days, we're going to step into what God has, and we're going to see all that we have missed. All the things that we suffered that we didn't have a reason to suffer. All the struggles we went through that we did not have to struggle. My prayer tonight is, God, reveal to me, if their eyes were opened to see good and evil, now that I have come to you, open my eyes to see your good. And you see, God created us only to see good. He wanted you to see only good, not evil. Only good. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will dwell in the what? House of the Lord forever. What is this house of the Lord? Here. Not just this, here. I said, Lord, you mean I can live forever? He said, yes, you don't need to die. It's like no dust to dust anymore? Yes. Huh? How? You said, when you are ready, I can just take you up. I just, come on. He said, I've done it before, don't you know? I said, yeah. And he had. He'd taken up Elijah. Phew, gone. Did he not? And before that, Enoch. Did he not? He will not allow his anointed to see corruption. That is God's atonement plan. That's what God wants for you. That's what God wants for me. You say, Pastor, this is like over there. I know. But if we don't start moving towards it, we will never get there. Somebody needs to start believing God for the supernatural. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to believe God for the super. He said to John, or at least that's what he said. They said, he said, John will never die. That was a rumor that spread all over the place. And sure enough, the guy won't die. I think he got tired. He says, you know what? Get me out of here. These people want to cook me and eat me. Well, I don't know what they're thinking. They're boiling me and I won't die. Let me out of this place. But I think more than that, it was the corruption that he saw happening in the church. When it starts talking about Laodicea and Philadelphia and Sardis and all of that, the churches, and seeing what he saw, he says, I don't think I want to see this. I've seen enough. Let's get out of here. And the only reason I believe that men and women of God are going to check out is because they see all of the nonsense going up in the world. It's just getting crazier and crazier. I was listening to the news the other day, and one state is getting rid of all urinals. You know, get rid of all of them. No urinals in the toilets. Why? Because they want men and women and whoever thinks whatever they think they are to use whatever it is they want to use, any which way they want to use. I say, the world is getting crazier by the moment. It keeps on like this. One of these days, I might just say, check me out, Papa. The atonement covers so much. That's what I'm saying. Covers a whole lot. Plus stuff that we had available to us that we have not used. My challenge to every woman in this house is that you will stand for your husband and stand for the purposes of the kingdom of God and cry out and say, God, hear the cry of my pastor. Hear the cry of my husband. Hear the cry of my son. Hear the cry of this man. I cry out to you so you can hear them. Amen? But aren't you glad that Jesus came, the atonement, to make sure that if nobody else is crying for you, he's already done it. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I say to the women, come into agreement with him. Praise the Lord. Come into agreement and pray. Let the women begin to cry out. It's in the Bible. God said it. He said to the women, the older women, to come together and begin to cry out, because he set it up that way. Let's use it. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, to close it up tonight, this is basically what I'm saying to you. Anything that doesn't sound good, Jesus came to turn around and make good. Because all God wants you to experience is good and not evil. It is hard for our natural mind to accept. So let me do something now. Let me do something here real quick. Take me to Psalm 16. Psalm 16. And I pray that this doesn't take me down a rabbit path. Psalm 16. I'm going to just go as quickly as I can. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord, my goodness extended not to thee. And that statement, my goodness extended not unto thee, is a statement about the goodness of God is so over there that no matter how good you try to get, it doesn't come close enough. In other words, it's like falling short of the glory of God. Okay? It says, oh my soul, but to the saints that are in the earth, to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight, this goodness extends to all that are saints in all the earth. And then it goes on. Their sorrows shall be multiplied at hasting after another. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. Stop. Let me make a comment real quick. That statement is the man of God saying, he says, those who rush out and are going after other gods because they think they're going to get good from these other gods, he says their sorrows are going to be multiplied. He says, I am not going to take their drink offerings of blood and offer it, nor take up their names into my lips. Now, the idea that is being communicated in that particular segment of blood offerings is recognizing this. Number one, the blood offerings is not just about bringing blood offering to the altar. It's about the expenditure of your life, because your labor is your life. When you go to work, you are being paid for your life, because your life is connected to time. Are you with me? And so in your blood is life. And so God, the psalmist is saying, I'm not going to do things the way the ungodly are doing it. And he goes on and he says this. The Lord is the portion, watch this now, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. God, you are my inheritance. And you're maintaining my lot, my portion. Whatever it is that's happening, you're taking care of it. And watch this, it goes deeper. The lines are falling onto me in pleasant places. Yeah, I have a goodly heritage. That's all good. Are you with me? I will bless the Lord who had given me counsel. So here God is the one who's going to advise me. He's going to advise me. Remember, one of the things that the man did not lose was his ability to hear. Hello? The ability to hear. We all have it. And part of it is connected to something called the conscience. Hello? So, everybody gets to hear God. Everybody. The ability to hear God is always there. The only thing that causes you not to hear God is because you feel unworthy and so disconnected that you're running away from God. But everybody, even the sinner, hears God. That's why a sinner, a drug addict, a mafia king, can hear God and come and empty his whole wallet and everything in your presence. Say, I don't know why I'm doing this, but here it is. I say amen to that. Hallelujah. I will bless the Lord who had given me counsel. He's counseled me, my reins, my heart, my mind also instruct me in the night seasons. Because the ability to talk has not been taken from you. Your ability to see with God's eyes, which does not see evil in you, that you've lost. What you see is nakedness and shame, and God sees righteousness. Are you with me? Verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he's at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Because he's at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices, and my flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Do you see it? All that God has is good. And God is saying, no matter how much you try to match up with my good, you will never get there. But if you can trust me, all of my good is going to come upon your life and you can enjoy it. Say with me, God has created me to know only good and no evil And the atonement has secured that favor, that grace, that blessing in my life forever. Only good, no evil. In Jesus' name. And it shall be so unto you according to your faith, because you dare to believe God. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to pray with you in just a moment. But before I release those that are listening online, I want you to hold your oil in your hand, because I'm going to cut off from you in just a moment. And as you hold that hand, that bottle, I want you to speak these words. Say, Lord Jesus, this oil is a point of contact. Touch it and anoint my life to experience your good all of my days. In Jesus' name, I declare it so. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Please be reminded that starting this Sunday, we are going to start 8 days of meetings. Those are going to be the Sukkot meetings. And I want you to ready yourself to experience everything God has for us during Sukkot. Each night will have a different focus as the Holy Spirit leads. But God is going to infuse us, impact us with His manifested glory, so that we can be everything God says we can be. Child of God, understand this. You and I are much more than we think in the natural. There is so much more about you that you and I need to be aware of. We need to tap into it and grow. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, bless you. Honor God with your giving. And I look forward to seeing you next Sunday for the Sunday meetings. But Friday is going to be a prayer service. So join us for that prayer service also. That's this Friday. And of course, Sunday morning, and then starting Sunday evening, right through to the next Sunday, will be Sukkot meetings. God bless you. Good night.